America Weekend.
The Emmy goes to Ian Buchanan.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki along with
Christina Staffo.
Our next guest recently concluded a long-running stint on General Hospital as Duke Lavery. He's been seen on The Bold and the Beautiful, All My Children, Poor Charles. He's been seen in prime time on a slew of dramas and sitcoms. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Ian Buchanan. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Very nice to join you.
It is very nice to have you here. I mean, to talk about someone being a veteran of soaps, you have been on all these soaps all these different years. It is such a different type of entertainment. Daytime television is so different. The first question I have, how do you learn all of that dialogue so quickly with such an incredible shooting schedule?
I don't know. I think it's probably a combination of sheer panic, and obviously, you know, you have to get it done, so there really is no choice. And you kind of develop skills to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you don't kind of freak out and say, I'll never do 60 pages, then you do it page by page, scene by scene. So.
What's the most number of pages you ever shot in one day?
Oh, probably about 90, I would imagine.
Wow. Mackerel. I actually had the pleasure of seeing one of the blooper reels from a soap opera, and it's hysterical because I'd imagine that it takes a while to get a scene down perfectly, right?
Usually you get one chance, actually. You
really?
Get like one, yeah, you get one rehearsal, and then they would like you to get it down in one take.
Well, but they would like you
to.
Yeah.
There are people who I think probably contribute to great blooper reels because they usually, at the end of the day, that's all they've done is like bloop all over the place.
Yeah.
But I've seen some of those blooper reels, and it's pretty funny, actually. It's pretty funny when people, sometimes with the pace, they don't really, like, it's so frantic, they don't really catch what a person has said until maybe somebody listens to it 10 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Hang
on
a second. That's ludicrous. You can't. That's not even English. What did you just say?
Yeah. You know, I always get a kick too as to when they actually do remove a character from a show. I mean, you know, you get shot or whatever in your case on General Hospital. I always get a kick out of how you were written out of the script on All My Children when you were Dr. Greg Madden. You were buried alive. Nobody in soaps ever just moves to Wichita to sell insurance. It's they always go for the more dramatic effect, right?
Well, I think I kind of have to take a little responsibility for that because I met the lady who was the head writer at a party about 6 months into the show, and I was kind of like, I wasn't really that kind of enthralled with writing, and I met her at a party, and she apparently doesn't get out very much, and there she was. She lives in the woods and with stray dogs. And I said, you know, why don't you make it dirty? I like, you know, to do dirty stuff. So that's, I then got buried alive. What I meant was make it a little more kind of like risque and make
sure.
It a little
right.
more like,
dirty in that sense.
She literally had tons of dirt.
The object lesson, never mess with the writer who lives in the woods with the
in
dogs.
The woods,
because you never know
dogs.
What they're going to do.
Exactly.
But
exactly. You know, who knew she could be literal? Who knew?
But okay, so something else that always struck me as interesting with these soap operas is that, you know, they'll kill you off, but then you weren't really killed off. You were sent to an institution and no one knew. And someone, like with your situation, back to GH, you know, someone is wearing a mask of your face and trying to, you know, get the love of your life. And, you know, here you are. You weren't dead. You were in an institution all this time.
I know. Like a nice institution. But I don't know this time. I'm not sure whether I'm dead or just dead. I can never figure that out.
Well, you know, medical science does wonderful things, and it is a show about a general hospital,
so
you never know.
Maybe this time you are, you know, on a stranded island someplace and
I don't know. I think on All My Children they wanted me to be really dead so that I was shown kind of like, you know, with the staples in my chest on the morgue slab.
That's
dead, dead.
Yeah.
That's
this
dead,
last
dead.
Time I was seen covered in a sheet being wheeled out, so that's not dead.
So you don't know.
See?
No, that's not dead.
That's not dead. It's soap opera dead, daytime television dead, which is a long way away from what we know as being clinically dead. I got to ask you, when you first get your size and you see when some of the storylines kind of take these interesting turns, you ever wonder, wow, what are they thinking or where is it going to go? I mean, as a performer in a daytime drama like that, you've got to be, really interested as things develop because you don't really know where your character is going to head to at any point, right?
You know, it depends. Sometimes you used to have a better idea because things were generally more character driven. Now mm-hmm. they tend to be plot driven. So plot can sort of do it, you know, 360 in one script. So sometimes it can be sort of surprising. But I always say the writing's on the wall before it's on the page. The surprises are always like the classical ones where you have, like, you know, on a Friday you say goodbye to your 4-year-old kid and mm-hmm. somebody else, you know, that 16-year-old shows up on Monday and you're like, what the hell happened here? Like, they're like, oh, story purposes.
There you go.
That kid could barely speak English. You know, we need a kid who can tell stories. Okay, whatever. Right. Here we go.
It's like that was a wild puberty over the weekend time, you know?
That's right. Exactly.
So was it a controversial thing, the ending to your character or the demise to your character on General Hospital this time around?
Yes, I think it still is very fairly controversial. Well, because I was one of the, what they call, legacy characters.
Yeah, sure.
And one of the last great, part of one of the last great super, I always never get this right, super couples. I always say it like it's a choice between soup or couple, but it's super couple.
Yes.
And because that, you know, you don't mess with that because they belong to the fans. You know,
right.
They belong to America. This time they did.
Oh, boy.
And I've been like the Walking Dead now for 2 months. It's been very interesting.
I can't imagine.
Go to the market. I can't go anywhere. People are like, what?
Right.
You're
alive. I'm sure when you run into fans, they're like, you know, so upset and like grieving over it, right?
Yeah. You can throw a little grieving too. Otherwise, it's like, I went through a little bit of a grieving too. I was like, wow.
Well, sure.
You know, it brings up an interesting point. You're talking about the fans. Can you even walk into a supermarket? Are you standing there selecting apples and rutabagas, and all of a sudden, here comes Mrs. Johnson, and all of a sudden, she's got questions about the show? Do you run into situations like that where, like, somebody will walk into it? It's Duke Lavery. You know, how often does that happen to you?
It happens every day.
See?
Oh.
Yeah. It happens. It's not always Mrs. Johnson. She's quite sweet about it.
But Mrs. Smith, watch out for Mrs. Smith, right?
Yeah, it tends to be kind of like... Most people are very polite and very respectful, but I get a little thrown sometimes when people are more invested in it than I was, when I am, and it's my job. So, you know, people get like very sort of like tell me stuff that did you know that this is the reason and she did this and then you should never have trusted her because she was like, and I'm like,
like it's real life.
Okay, right. Now you thank you for that. You know, forewarned is forearmed. I will know what to do the next time.
It's like, honey, I came in here for milk and eggs. I just want to get the hell out of here. Leave me alone. But, you know, it's last night I'm printing out your IMDb. My goodness. I mean, you can wallpaper a small room with this. There is so much on here. There is so much that you have done. We talked about the soaps, but we'll jump to prime time. Dick Tremaine on Twin Peaks, the Gary Shandling Show, one of my favorite shows of all time, the Larry Sanders Show. You played the new producer, Jonathan Littman. You have had such a varied career, both daytime and with the primetime stuff. The training, you studied in New York at the Lee Strasberg Theater. You studied privately with Marcia Helfrecht. That is quite a very prestigious way to get your training.
Yes, absolutely. And also when I was with Marcia, David Duchovny was in the class, and Uma Thurman and Ellen Barkin, and so we all, it was kind of a really great, interesting, I mean, it's not just the training, it's who you get to work with, and we were all kind of, you know, doing, all like pretty, you know, pretty, it was a talented group.
That's very nice. Sounds like, that was around the mid-80s, I would imagine, right? Somewhere around there?
Yes, it was early to mid-80s.
It's funny because we had David Duchovny on a couple of weeks ago. He's kind of become a pseudo friend of the program, so we knew about that. That was the name we were going to throw out at you.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, so you trained with David Duchovny in the mid-80s. That's so awesome.
Very nice.
It's funny, yes. And then he was on Twin Peaks also.
Do you ever have any, like, awkward moments on the set of, like, any of these soap operas involving, like, I don't know, you're making out with somebody or, you know, there's some type of love scene or whatever? You ever, like, oh, God. Help me here.
No, I always remember a story, and I think it was Peter O'Toole that said, please excuse me if I get an erection, and forgive me if I don't.
Talk about middle ground that's hard to pursue. It's like, you know, you can't win, you can't lose.
So funny.
Words,
exactly.
Words to live by when performing any love scene. And you know what? That's the perfect way to just say, Ian Buchanan, it has been quite a pleasure to have you on the show. We thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed speaking to you. I look forward to speaking to you again. And please, say hello to your wonderful Anne.
I will.
Christina.
Thank you.
Give
so
her my love.
Thank you so much. I will. I'm going to tell her how awesome you are. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ian. Have a great day.
Have a great day there.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. The story at the end, you know what? That's probably one of the best stories we've ever had in the 47-week history of this radio program.
I knew I had to ask because, you know, my aunt often takes me around to, like, you know, holiday parties at her job or whatever. And at one of when she actually worked for All My Children.
Okay.
And they had this long blooper reel. And it was hysterical. That's why I had to ask that awkward.
Oh, I would imagine.
A lot of it involved love scenes and, you know, different things. And it is very, very comical to watch that.
You can burp at the most inappropriate times sometimes in life. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi.
And I'm Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Donna put her house up for sale by listing it with a real estate broker. Her agent brought several people by to look at the house, and when the buyer offered her exact asking price, Donna accepted. Now, 15 days into escrow, Donna changes her mind. She decides she can't part with the home her kids love so much. So escrow is canceled, and the house is taken off the market. But the next day, the real estate agent shows up asking for his commission. Naturally, Donna says no. She hasn't any money because there was no sale. When the case goes to court, who wins? Stay tuned for the final verdict. So, did you pick Donna or the real estate agent? The commission must be paid because the agent found a qualified buyer and a sale was underway. And that's the final verdict.
Welcome to American Biker Minute, author of Snakes, Guillotines, and Electric Chairs, My Adventures in the Alice Cooper Group.
I wrote a book about tossing chickens at the crowd.
Dennis Dunaway, today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial, along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Dennis Dunaway's book, Snakes, Guillotines, and Electric Chairs.
It turned into this big, giant machine. What would make the most profit? It lost its appeal to us.
If it weren't for bikers,
they could see, as bizarre as we dressed and stuff, that we were social outcasts. The bikers always came to our rescue. Peace-loving hippies wouldn't like what we were doing. The bikers would keep them in line, tell them to shut up.
American Biker Minute.
Let us play.
Your passport to the open road.